Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm talking to you today about Windows on God's World. This is a devotional for young Christians by James A. Tucker, and we're going to talk about the power of the swordfish, the power of the swordfish. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17 is our verse. Well, last week we thought about the Bible as the sword of the Spirit. Let's think about the same idea again in connection with swordfish. A swordfish may grow to a length of 15 feet from the tip of its tail to the tip of its sword. It is one of the most streamlined fish in the sea and is thought by some to be the fastest living thing on land or sea, reaching speeds estimated in excess of 70 miles per hour. Swordfish have been known to attack sailing vessels regardless of the ship's size. One such attack on a 200-ton Arabian ship shook the vessel from stem to stern. The power of such an attack can be better understood by the report of one swordfish that it hit a ship so hard that it thrust its sword through 9 inches of wooden hull. But that is nothing compared to what happened when a swordfish attacked a whaling ship in 1826. The fish slammed into the ship with such force that it was apparently killed instantly. When the ship arrived home in Massachusetts, the sword was found intact, thrust through the ship's hull. It had penetrated the copper sheathing, 4 inches of board, 12 inches of oak timber, 2.5 inches of oak ceiling planks, and finally the tip had punctured an oil barrel where it remained so tight that no oil had leaked out of the barrel. Wow. There are many powerful forces in nature against which man is physically powerless, but there are no spiritual forces that he may not conquer with a sword, the sword of the Spirit. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, says the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5, he says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I don't know about you, but that gives me so much faith to remember that, because we constantly war against things that aren't flesh, and we are really powerless against them. Well, we have lots of prayer requests, and so at this time, let's turn our hearts to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we hold up to you our prayer requests. We hold up to you a family that is still battling COVID. The whole family is just going through each child and each parent one by one. Please be with them. We pray for a church that is in turmoil with their pastor. Please be with that church. We pray for our youth. Our youth are really being thrust into an arena that only you can save them from, Lord. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for baby Carmen, who we prayed for a long time a while back. She's at home now and off all her tubes, just the cutest little baby. Thank you for that, Lord. And in closing, we remember our nation, and may we always be under one God, and may that God be you. All this I pray in our whole, in thy holy name. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, going along with our devotional today, I have put on my Pinterest site in Windows on God's World. On that board, you can go to mrgamblin2, the number 2, in Pinterest, and you can see all of the things that I've coordinated with Windows on God's World. There's a little video about swordfish and some fun facts there. And there's also a free printable if you want to make kind of a cartoonish swordfish. And I'm also going to put how to draw a swordfish. I think it's good for children to learn to draw too. So, you know, have fun learning about swordfish today. Curriculum Corner. Today we're going to talk about PE ideas for homeschooling families. If you have enough children in your family, you can play group games, and that's a lot of fun, like workup. I know we're in the middle of learning how to do workup. We have a total of 7 students, and most of them come from a homeschooling background. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we invite our homeschooling friends to come so that we have at least 9. And then we are doing workup. We don't really have enough to do teams. So we do workup where everyone is assigned to either third base, second base, first base, pitching, catching, and then the 3 batters, which are the kickers, because we do this with kickball. And if you want to move up quickly, you need to catch a fly, then you can just trade places. Otherwise, you just move around the bases. And everybody then has a turn to pitch, kick. In our circumstances, because we have some 13-year-olds with 8-year-olds, we make sure that for the 8-year-olds, they have a little special concession, like they can get on first base. And the kids have fun overthrowing the ball or missing the ball on purpose to make sure that that early elementary student gets on first base. And then everybody on each base serves as a coach and helps them learn how to do it so that we have enough to play a game or to learn something. The whole idea of physical education is, 1, to get the kids moving, and 2, to teach them good sportsmanship. So they might not always agree with the call. They might not like how I've arranged the game. And I tell them, part of what I'm doing is challenging you to become a good sports person. To be a good sportsman is much more than just being coordinated. It means being willing to go out when you need to go out. Another fun game is 2-square or 4-square. You can just play with a couple of kids, and it's just bouncing the ball back and forth in these two, you know, across the squares. Great exercise, great vestibular exercise. You need to plan a PE program. In your homeschooling, you need to have physical education. Homeschoolers have a distinct advantage because you can also do biking, swimming, hiking, exercise equipment in the park, calisthenics and polymetrics and exercise with YouTube, and do obstacle courses that might be set up in the park for you. And you have that flexibility. You can go anytime. But I would set a regular time and then follow through with that. So that concludes our curriculum corner. Questions parents ask. Well, this question comes from Victoria, and she says this is for morning people. She says she's not a good morning person, but she'd love to be, and she can see how waking up before the children and having her devotional time would be such a blessing, but she just can't get out of bed. She almost sounds like she's exhausted like I am. She says coffee doesn't help, and I have made it a point in my life not to consume caffeine unless I really have to, like if I'm driving and I'm going to fall asleep and I have to get to my destination. That being said, then when I do take it, always gives me a slight headache, so that helps prevent me from really becoming a coffee drinker. So if coffee doesn't help, this is what I do. I have my phone and I set it to the Bible, either the Bible reading to me or a spiritual book, you know, some devotional book. And I have found that, and we know this to be true, even if you're not awake, you begin to hear long before you actually wake up. So you can lay there and you can just absorb the Word of God. You can just absorb it in that subconscious time of your day where everything's quiet, but you're just not ready to open your eyes yet. You're not ready to get up yet, but you are listening. You are listening to God's voice, and that will feed you. I'm so glad you don't have to be a morning person. I have had to be a morning person all of my life, and it definitely is a big trial. So praise God that you don't have to be. And if all your kids are on the same schedule as you are, that's the beauty of homeschooling. That's one of the perks. Today, our giveaway is a book by Ronnie Gage and Emmett C. Thompson, known as Tom, The Life Coach. We have two of these to give away. One is autographed by both men. And all you have to do is go to our website, homeschoolcompanion.org. Go down to the right-hand corner at the bottom. You'll see the donate button. And then if you want to email us to let us know, our emails do notify us on our phone. So rgmediaministries@gmail.com. Say, I put in a donation for any amount. The first two donations that come in get these two books, The Life Coach, Small Town Lessons of Faith, Family, and Football. You're going to enjoy the interview that I have with him coming up. So please stay tuned for the second half of the show. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome. I'm here with Coach Gage, and I'm looking at the book, The Life Coach, Coach Ronnie Gage, Masters and...
It's a Masters of Education.
Masters of Education, mm-hmm. And he's going to tell us what prompted him to write the book, The Life Coach. Just set the stage for us.
Well, I have a co-author named Tom Thompson who walked in my office one day and sat down and said when I was at Austin College, said he wanted to play football. The only problem was he was 60 years old. And I thought, what kind of prank? Somebody's pranking me. And after we kind of worked through it, he actually had a year of eligibility left. And so we let him come on out, and we got his eligibility all taken care of and let him kick for a year. And we became good friends over that time. And he'd always encouraged me to write a book, and I lost a daughter 11 years ago to cancer, and he knows the times we went through and the tribulations we went through, that whole ordeal, and he just encouraged me to do this if it was something that I felt comfortable doing. And I prayed about it, and I just finally gave in, and now I'm glad I did, because it's a book about overcoming adversities in life and using God as your stabilizer, and there's a lot of common sense things in there when dealing with kids and dealing with people. And I just hope there's something in the book that everyone could get out of.
I just have to ask you to share the story or continue the story. So he came at the age of 60, and he was a kicker.
Well,
I don't know that much about the game.
I'm not real sure. I'm sorry. I'm not real sure what he was. And like I said, I was really skeptical. And I thought, this guy's got an agenda hidden somewhere. But the more we got to know each other, the more comfortable I felt. And I got the AD of the school involved and went through the NCAA. We were able to, like I said, get his eligibility straight and get him on. And so he wanted to kick. That's what he wanted to do. And he kind of taught himself how to kick because he's really too old to do anything else. And honestly, he wasn't a great kicker. But he wanted to fulfill his dream. I mean, this was something he wanted, his bucket list thing. So the last game that I was at Austin College and the last game he played in, I allowed him to go in and kick an extra point, and he made it, and the rest is history. He became the oldest collegiate player to suit up in a uniform in an NCAA game, and the oldest player to score a point in an NCAA game. So He's gotten a lot of pub from that, and he's got a jersey at the College Hall of Fame in Atlanta. And but more importantly, we've become good friends over the years, and so I took his advice, and he has a rider in Nashville, and so we did it. Once it was finished, I was really glad and proud that I did, because I think there's some good stuff in the book.
Yeah, it says, you know, the life coach, small town lessons on faith, family, and football. So let's talk first about some of the lessons in faith that really stick out for you.
Well, I think as you grow up, I grew up, I lost my dad when I was 13 years old. Mm. Which is really about the time I became a Christian, and I tell people all the time, I can remember as a young boy going to church and, you know, that tug telling me I needed to make that walk, take that first step, and I tell people that's real, you know, it really is real. Mm-hmm. And I went to a church camp and came back and accepted God that next day or that next Sunday, and it was like a weight lifted off my shoulder. And so from that point on, he's kind of become my stabilizer in life. And then you add the mentors and the people I've had in my life along the way. I've been blessed in so many ways, and that was the direction that got me into coaching and athletics, those people. And I hope that my career has been able to touch and do things for young people that it did for me. You know, I've coached a lot of kids, and I've got over 50 now that has played for me at one time or another that are in the teaching, coaching profession. And I don't take credit for that, but at the same time, I know why I got into coaching, and it was because of the experience as a young boy that I had in athletics. And I'm hoping that's part of the reason they got into it. And then you add the ups and downs of losing a daughter. I had a heart attack that probably ended my career, and just the ups and downs every day of teaching and coaching. You know, you never know what's going to walk through the door or what's going to happen in a game or how an outcome's going to come. And there's a lot of things you have to deal with. So God's been my stabilizer and my guidance, and I know I can always go there when times are tough.
When you talk about coaching, so many coaches really – you know, they have boundaries, they have certain rules, and yet they become dearly loved. How do you bond with your students with boundaries? How does that work?
First of all, you just got to get to know your kids, your players. And, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people over the years in the profession, and coaches will come in, they'll sit down across the desk like we are, and the first thing they want to throw at you is, I'm a disciplinarian, you know. Mm-hmm. I believe in discipline. I kind of get tickled, because I'm a disciplinarian too, but I think if you look at people that are successful, they don't walk around carrying a big stick or have a long list of rules. It's the way your program is set up. And I think you could say that in just about any fact of life. It's the consistency and the expectation and the demands you have on kids. And so our kids, it's just like a habit at home. You know, you're asked to do chores, certain things. After a while, you don't have to be told, you do them. And that's a good habit. So mm-hmm. We preach good work habits and good work ethic. And then just got to know our kids, you know, got after them when they needed to be gotten out. We coached them hard, but we loved them. And I think mm-hmm. that's the key. I never was afraid to stand up in front of a group of kids or one kid or any individual and tell them I love them and appreciate them. And they know when you're the real deal.
Yes, I really believe that. Yes, they really do. So what were some of the boundaries that you had in your coaching experience?
Well, we just expected them to do what's right, you know, use common sense. I always said if I could teach kids to use common sense and work hard, I was going to get out of coaching and write a book. Well, I could get them to work hard and play hard, but I'm still working on the common sense part of it. We hadn't got there quite yet, but it was a simple formula. And then love them, you know, mm-hmm. just love them and take care of them. Be there for them. And my motto to our kids and our players was always, it's okay to be the good guy. And you think about that. You know, yeah. It's okay to have faith. It's okay to believe in God. It's okay to hug your mom. It's okay to hug your dad. It's okay to kiss your mom or dad. It's okay to be good to your girlfriend. It's okay. okay to sit on the front row in class, or you know, teach a teacher with, or treat a teacher with respect. And you could go on and on. It's okay, and you can still be a good athlete and a good person. Just be the good guy. Just be the guy that sets the example. And that we preach that day in and day out.
You know, there's something about a personal aura or power. And I mean, when you walked in the room, even though I had never gotten to be with you face to face, I think I'd interviewed you virtually once, I can sense that power. And it's almost like kids can sense it too. They can sense fear on a teacher, and they can sense self-composure and self-control. And did you find that to be true?
I think that's true. I think especially when you said they sense a little bit of fear maybe in a teacher or a coach, and we've seen that. You know, young teachers, and they walk in a classroom for the first time. I don't care how many classes you take, or you know, they're not going to prepare you for that first day.
Yes.
You walk into a classroom of 30 kids or 30 students, and mm-hmm. and there's always a natural, you know, fear there, but you just got to be yourself, but you got to, you know, you've got to be firm. And again, it goes back to my formula was set your expectations, demand those expectations on a consistent basis, and love them. And if you do those three things, it's a simple formula. And I think there's, you know, that's what creates success. And that's what we tried to do. And got a lot of compliments over the years about our kids and how hard they played. And yeah, it was always important to me. To me, that's a true testament of how well a team is coached. It's not X's and O's. It's the kids that sell out, that get in there and they play, and they play with conviction and passion, and they play hard. And to me, that's a winning formula, the chemistry, and it's all about chemistry.
So when you say when you have to choose between talent and heart, you would choose heart every time. Is that where we're going with that statement?
Well, yes, ma'am. Now there'll be a lot of people that hear me say that and say, "Oh, come on, coach." And and truly, I would prefer to have a little of both. Okay, somebody's real talented that plays with a lot mm-hmm. of heart. Then you're in business. But I've seen a lot of really talented teams that didn't go anywhere or get anywhere because they couldn't play as a team. They couldn't set. They didn't know how to sell it. They didn't have passion for what they were doing, and the chemistry just wasn't there. And the chemistry entails so many things within a team. And mm-hmm. I used to tell newspaper people, you know, coach, how are you going to be this year? Well, give me a couple, 3 or 4 weeks. Let's see how the chemistry all comes about. And but I love kids, and I used to praise kids for how hard they worked, not just during the season, but, you know, in the off season. And because a lot of people can't do what we ask them to do, and it takes a lot of conviction and a lot of work to do those things. And I really, really did appreciate each and every kid I've ever coached for the efforts and the attitude they gave me.
Well, we have to end this segment, this part one of the interview, but when we come back tomorrow, I want to ask you if you've ever, or if you used story to help your students or help your team members, help your players catch the vision. So we'll be back tomorrow. I'm talking with Coach Gage, Coach Gage, and we're talking about his book, The Life Coach. So I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard so far, and listen to us tomorrow. With that, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.